As we know, this present world will be consumed in the baptism of fire. All the treasures we gathered for ourselves will be tested in this fire. If it can burn, it will burn. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Those who have been steadfast and faithful in their service to God will be rewarded for their service. They will receive crowns and rewards. The Bible speaks of a crown of righteousness given to all who love His appearing. There's a crown of life given to those who resist the temptations of this world. Those who support the work of the ministry by their tithes and offerings will receive the same reward as the ones who did the work. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24. As his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. This is why Paul encouraged offerings and donations of support. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But what's the purpose of the crowns and rewards we labor for? We won't need them for ourselves. Our cup will be overflowing with the good things of paradise. But the rewards and crowns that we earn through our faithfulness to Christ are not given to us for our own pleasure. They are given to us so we can place them at the feet of Christ when we stand before Him at His throne. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Try to imagine the shame of standing before the Lord with nothing to offer Him but words. We may claim we loved Him, but our empty hands will show we loved this world more. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. There's also a judgment of the unjust. In the resurrection of the unjust, unbelieving men will be revived from the sleep of death to stand before God's great white throne. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. These are the people who said they didn't need a Savior. Therefore, they will be judged for their sins, and the wages of sin is death. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 13 tells us that they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. The reward of unrighteousness is eternal death. Now I know that certain passages of the Bible have been used to promote the idea that the unsaved also have everlasting life, but theirs will be a horrible eternity of endless torture. But when we read the Bible carefully, we see that the fate of the ungodly is to perish. Psalm 37, verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The punishment for sin is not banishment or torture or imprisonment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Unsaved man is resurrected to stand before God and receive the reward of his unrighteousness, the second death. Back to the book of Revelation, now chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The unsaved will be consumed in flames. This is their part, to die the second death. It is the devil and his angels who will be forever tormented in the fiery lake of their judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Ungodly men will die the second death. They will vanish away like smoke. Psalm 21, verse 9. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. And in Psalm 68, verse 2, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. There was a day when men looked up to Jesus on the cross and laughed at him in ridicule. Mark chapter 15, verses 29 and 30. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah! Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, verse 30, save thyself and come down from the cross. On the day of the judgment of the unjust, it is the Lord who will have the final laugh. When men are screaming out in fear as they are herded into the flames, and all the air is filled with the sound of weeping and gnashing of teeth, it will be the Lord's turn to offer that same advice. Save yourself. Psalm 2, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Let all who remain on earth heed God's warning. Verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. We come to the end of this seminar, having come full circle. To repent of dead works is to live through faith in Christ, baptized into his complete work and touched by the laying on of his hands. We know that our labor is not in vain, because he lives, and we shall live also. And so we abide in him, and let his word abide in us, to the end that when we stand before him to give account of our lives, we will receive many treasures to lay at his feet. These are the 6 principles of the doctrine of Christ, the fundamental precepts of true Christianity. Their importance cannot be overstated. Once more, we turn to the book of 2 John, chapter 1, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Amen and amen. May God bless you and keep you as you bless him and keep his commandments.